Hello and welcome to a podcast about something where each week we dive deep into whatever it is we find interesting. I'm your host, Calvin, and joining me from an empty stadium somewhere in Chicago, it's your co-host, Nick Richardson.
The you know, Christmas time phrase of baby, it's cold outside, it means a lot this time of year, especially now.
I don't know what that has to do with football, but yeah, sure.
So you mentioned Chicago. It's shitty cold up there. The Bears suck.
Well, so that they got a shot at the playoffs still, first of all. We'll get to that. Bro. But the reason I mentioned Chicago is twofold. Because one, I know you're a Bears fan. And two, during the Chicago game this past week where they trounced Houston somehow, they like did one of the fan reaction shots, but there's no fans in the stands. And there's just like some stadium worker standing there clapping after a touchdown. And the announcers were like, there's a lone fan here in the stadium watching the game. So, like, I was kind of alluding to that as well.
Yeah.
Shout out to that lady.
She was getting paid to be there. Like, yeah.
Shout out to the lone Chicago Bears fan at the stadium last week, even though you probably worked for the team.
I'll get into that later. But, fucking, right. You know, it's not a good time.
No. So we're going to kind of round up what's going on in the NFL, but we want to frame it as we're going to start off as how has COVID affected the NFL and NFL teams? What's been going on with that? And then at the end, we'll do kind of a roundup of each division, what's been happening and where we think they'll go. But before we get into any of that, before we get too far into the NFL, I got called out a couple of weeks ago on the VCR Kids podcast. I would normally say go listen to them. They're a great podcast. But right now, I'm not sure that I'm going to say that because I'm not too happy with them. They called me out, so I need to use this space to respond and defend myself. So, Aaron, I have now watched this part of Edward Scissorhands twice since you originally claimed that they did an episode on Edward Scissorhands maybe 4 weeks ago at this point. I listened to it, and then to prepare for our upcoming Christmas adjacent movie superlatives that's coming next week, I watched Edward Scissorhands because that's one of those movies that kind of takes place around Christmas but not really a Christmas movie. So I watched it just as part of that, and I was kind of reflecting on what they said. So Aaron, I've seen it twice now, because now that you called me out, I went back and watched it again. So since you originally claimed that it didn't make sense that he had Scissorhands in the first place, I gotta say it absolutely makes sense. So what happens, Aaron, in the movie is the inventor looks at the salad chopping robot. And if you guys haven't seen Edward Scissorhands lately, just know there's a salad chopping robot that eventually turns into Edward. But that's not important here, I guess. So he looks at the salad chopping robot. Then he looks at like this heart cookie that he had made, heart-shaped cookie, and he holds up the heart-shaped cookie to the salad chopper like he wanted to give the salad chopper a heart. And then he got that look on his face that characters in movies get whenever they have an idea. You know, that idea face. So, Aaron, in the next flashback we see, it starts on the salad chopping robot again. The camera kind of goes on the salad chopper. And then it pans to the planning book, which you alluded to when you called me out. And the pages turn, showing the steps to turn the salad chopper robot into a real boy. And then it finally pans to the inventor reading to an almost finished Edward. So that panning over the book sequence is supposed to represent the passage of time between the prototype salad chopper and the finished Edward. So instead of creating Aaron, this whole brand new humanoid robot, he started with the most humanoid one he already had, and then he made adjustments to make him more lifelike, and apparently left the hands for the last thing for whatever strange reason he decided to do that. I don't know. So just to let all of our listeners know, the eternal feud with the VCR kids has now been reinvigorated, based mostly just on Edward Scissorhands now. It used to be based on Space Jam, but that died down because I re-listened to their Space Jam episode. They weren't really as hard on it as I thought they were. So, you know, I squashed that original beef. But now Aaron has refueled it with this Edward Scissorhands stuff.
And I was fine
with just letting it pass. But you had to call me out personally. So here I am coming back. Because I watched it, and expect in the VCR Kids email the clip of that I just described in that mailbox. It's coming at you, because I'm right here, and that's all I have to say.
Shots fired! Oh, shit.
Like, have you seen Edward Scissorhands recently?
Not recently. I've seen it. I watched it like 7 or 8 times when I was a teenager within the span of 2 weeks because it was like, whoa, this movie's fucking tight. And you know
that emo kid.
What's that?
I said you were that emo kid.
Yeah, maybe.
Alright, well, let's talk more about Edward Scissorhands next week. Because right now, we're here to talk about the NFL, and the people who clicked on the NFL podcast probably don't want to hear a lot about Edward Scissorhands. Maybe some, but not a lot.
If you know the Venn diagram of that, I'm guessing the middle's not too big.
I'm in the middle. Well, I would love it if I clicked on an NFL podcast and I went into this diatribe about Edward Scissorhands, but that's just me.
Well, now I want to talk more about Edward Scissorhands. Imagine him on the the fucking gridiron, Calvin, on the football field.
It'd be like Air Bud times 6, because he's got those scissors. He'd just stab the ball. He'd be an amazing tight end.
It'd be like Lawrence Taylor basically just fucking up Joe Theismann every play.
Yeah, I don't think he could put him on defense. Too much. Like, he can't tackle somebody.
He'd just be like, running at him.
I think tight end's the perfect position. Maybe we have to do a draft of, like, random-ass movie characters into NFL teams, like we did the movie NFL players, or the movie football players into the actual NFL. Maybe we just need to do random-ass movie characters into football movies. That might be fun.
Into the NFL. Definitely. Draft. Terminator and Conan the Destroyer. Both of them.
Next NFL draft season, that's the ticket right there.
It's fucking just on.
Any movies, but they can't play football in the movie. I like that. But Edward Scissorhands, he's a tight end. He can catch the ball, and he's a great blocker because nobody's going to come through him. Nobody wants those hands when he's trying to block.
Edward, these hands.
Edward, these scissor hands.
Oh, man, that would be fucking hilarious. And then him and Cortland Finnegan comes back. You know, he unretires to fight Edward Scissorhands. It's fucking on Andre Johnson. He'd be a good DB.
Who was that? I think it was Aqib Talib that I think he snatched the chain off of Michael Crabtree maybe a couple of seasons ago.
Yeah.
Now, Edward Scissorhands could really snatch a chain on man-to-man coverage.
He would just decapitate some. Yeah!
I got your chain. Oh, shit. Your head's over there. My bad.
Oopsie. Let me trim this hair up real quick. And then
I'm going to go ahead and start planning this whole draft because that's going to be fun.
I'm fucking on this, dude. We got to have 53-man rosters.
No, we can't do that. Maybe we could build one 53-man roster.
I can go through like 53
I think that's a better idea than a draft, is we build one 53-man roster. Either we go back and forth picking a position, or we both just give a nominee for each position. We'll have to figure that out.
We'll work on it.
Let us know what you think on Twitter, @APA_@alone_podcast.
I digress.
So let's talk about the real NFL now.
Let's do it.
And specifically, COVID NFL protocols. What measures, Nick, you did the research on this, what measures have been taken to limit the spread of COVID among NFL teams and in stadiums? Besides, obviously, limiting fans or having no fans. Down in Florida, they can have 33% or whatever because Florida's stupid. But what other things have they done?
They've gone a kind of weird hybrid model. They didn't do the bubble like the NHL and the NBA did.
And neither of those leagues, when they come back, neither of those leagues are going back to the bubble. It was like their one-time thing, and it worked for the playoffs and things like that, but I don't think he could do a full season in a bubble anyways.
It'd be tough. But, I mean, they got through it. The NFL is, like you mentioned earlier, it depends on the state laws, basically. So, like, in Chicago, they have no fucking fans. Florida, 33%. The Browns, they had some fans in the stands. I don't know how many or what their capacity is there, but
it's usually around 30%. I think all of them are around 30%, like 30-35%, somewhere in there. I don't like it when they've got the cardboard cut, like when they've got real fans and the cardboard cutouts. Pick one or the other, because
the animated ones, dude. That shit is weird. Like CGI fans, it kind of creeps me out.
It looks like nobody's social distancing because there's all these cutouts between everyone. So I'm like, that is super unhealthy. Yeah. And then they zoom in and you're like, oh, that's fucking a Brady Quinn cardboard cutout. That's not a real person. Not that – I mean, Brady Quinn isn't much more than a cardboard cutout either, so.
Damn! Oh, fuck. Dude, that was – maybe one of the most lethal insults I've heard in a long fucking time.
Sorry, Brady Quinn. If you listen to the show,
I'm not fucking we'll have sorry. You suck.
That's true.
I fucking not a hate big
Brady
you.
Quinn fan.
But anyway, I can speak. Did you watch the Browns Ravens game like I imagine most people did that are clicking on an NFL episode?
So as you say that, I did not. I watched like maybe a quarter of it because I just wasn't into it that day.
It was a pretty good game, but something I noticed is every fan I spotted in the stands, if they weren't like sneaking a drink or a bite to eat, was wearing a mask. So that's something good. You know, the stands are doing as well.
Anytime I see games in Florida, it because I watch the Florida Gators a lot, and then you know just locally the Tampa and Jacksonville games are usually on. It looks like out of the 30 or whatever percent, it's like half and half masks. And they have them. They're just under their chin or whatever. And I was at Disney World last week, and they have very strict mask rules. They only let in something like 35% capacity as well right now, and which is still over 30,000 people because capacity is 100,000.
That's a shitload of people.
Yeah, God, it's still a lot of people. But you could tell walking around there that everybody had the mask on. They have announcements going off unless you're actively eating or drinking, and you should be standing still if you're actively eating or drinking, or they say stationary, so you could be sitting or whatever. You just can't be walking around eating or drinking, because then you're potentially, you know, as you're taking a drink, you cough right after it, and now you're walking around, there's people around you that weren't there before. So yeah, it's Disney World's doing better, but the NFL, the stadiums do seem to be doing pretty well on at least masking.
Well, I mean, they have to. People have to. While this may not be a super-duper incredibly lethal virus, as people like to claim, it does have debilitating circumstances that arise from catching this fucking virus. So say that disables you from having an income. How are you going to afford to go to the goddamn stadium if you don't have an income? Or you're going bankrupt because of medical fucking bills, or you just don't have the cognitive
and just
function.
Because, so the other problem with it is, just because it doesn't, It may not be lethal to you, it still is very lethal to certain populations of people.
Absolutely.
And it spreads very easily. And you don't necessarily always know that you're spreading it. So just catching it and spreading it is just as dangerous as having it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
So, I mean, I think it starts with the fans, as odd as that sounds for an organization. It starts with the fans. I totally will forego going to a football stadium this year, because my daughter is asthmatic. So I'm not fucking with that. It's not going
to
happen.
I don't go to football stadiums anyways. It was boring as fuck to watch a game in the stadium.
Say what? You have bad stadiums, my friend. We'll get into this. We'll get into this.
Yeah.
But anyway, so like I said, it starts with the fans. And then for the NFL itself, they're doing that weird hybrid
model.
Here's
what I don't have. Sorry, I got to go back to this. It's not that we have boring stadiums. It's that it's 112 fucking degrees when we're in stadiums.
That is 100% fair. If your beer is warm within, you know,
beer.
5 minutes.
It's too hot. The beer's cold enough, but it's too hot to drink beer. I can't drink beer when it's 112 degrees outside.
And humid as shit.
It just does not taste good. Yeah.
Definitely. I'd rather be cold as fuck drinking, you know, 30-degree Miller in Soldier Field, which is really refreshing, not going to lie.
But anyway, go on with what you were saying.
So, amongst their players, they obviously have high expectations for their players. It, you know, don't be fucking dumb. Don't be photographed out partying. They haven't completely restricted them.
Broncos quarterbacks, we're looking at you.
Right. You guys are stupid.
They
you
weren't even
to lose
out partying. I think they're in like a team facility without their masks on.
They weren't taking it seriously, and I think that's kind of the expectation each team has for their players is, step one, take this shit seriously or fucking else.
Yeah.
And then they have daily temperature checks and, at you know, depending on the team, daily COVID testing for anyone that has to be, you know, close to each other for more than 10 minutes. So most of your starting lineup, I'm guessing, your coaching staff, you know, they haven't released the exact, you know, everyone that does it, but I imagine it's the close-knit people. A cool thing they did, actually, is they instituted a rule where the practice squad, so, like, say you lose someone to the COVID list, you can elevate a practice squad player for that game or two if it's really bad, and then they automatically revert back to the practice squad and they don't have to go through waivers.
Mm-hmm.
So they've, what I think they've done is they've done a good job of managing the preventative side. So, you know, daily temperature checks, no one allowed in the facilities. As soon as a COVID test pops up or a maybe positive, they shut everything down. You know, yep. That happened in Chicago pretty recently.
Chicago, Tennessee's had one. Baltimore had one. And it's weird. Sometimes they'll reschedule games. Sometimes they, like with Denver, they're just like, nope, fuck it. You guys are playing. But with when Tennessee had their problems early on, we'll get into more details on that. And Baltimore had theirs a couple weeks ago. They're just like, oh, no, we'll move the game to Tuesday. But Denver, no. Now you got to play with a wide receiver who played quarterback for four plays in college.
Yeah, from the practice squad. So it's something where the NFL's, I understand that's a sacrifice. They got to maximize profit, especially with no fans in the stadiums. Those obviously make a shitload of money. I mean, it's to go to a game at Soldier Field, for me and my wife, it's like $300 for half decent seats, and then the beer is $11 a fucking beer, and you know, Italian beef, you gotta get it when you're at Soldier Field. So I didn't see any of this tracking thing. I know they were talking about doing like individual watches or rings or stuff to.
Yes, so they have those. There was a case, not a COVID case, but there was something that happened. I think it was last week. Like a strength and conditioning coach had to be completely quarantined from the team because he just didn't feel like wearing his tracker for a couple days or something like that. So like they take the trackers just as seriously because they're contact tracing.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's what it's for.
So they can tell how long you've been around other people within the team. So like the strength and conditioning coach wasn't wearing it, so they don't know who else he was around for that period of time that he wasn't wearing it. So they had to quarantine a bunch of people. That might have been the Baltimore case.
I would not be surprised. So it's something that, you know, quarantining is a big thing. If you have a positive test, they immediately send people home. They isolate them. And it's basically, you know, do not fucking disobey us or we will find the shit out of you. That's another thing is they are not afraid to dock draft picks. We've seen that with Las Vegas. They lost, what, a seventh rounder?
Yeah, and in the first couple of weeks, there are a bunch of fines going around for coaches not wearing their masks correctly on the sidelines, things like that.
Pete Carroll, Vic Fangio, fucking John Gruden.
It was like every West Coast team, it felt like.
Yeah, pretty much. Kyle Shanahan, they're just – it's something that they're obviously taking it extremely seriously, and I think they're kind of going along the guidelines the CDC is giving and what they find works.
Mm-hmm. They're doing a lot of Zoom practices, Zoom meetings, walkthroughs, things like that, as much as they can. So they're having a lot of less face-to-face practices, which I thought would kind of affect the play on the field. And I don't know that I've seen that it really has. There's still a lot of good things happening this season. Like, it's not completely slight. There have been years in the past, you know, they cut the preseason out this year, and usually in the first 2 weeks, everything is just complete trash. Everybody's super sloppy. There's turnovers. There's injuries. I didn't feel like that was happening. There have been a lot of injuries this season. And that chalks up to less practices, no preseason, less conditioning. Yeah, less weight room sessions. All that stuff, you know, goes into all those extra injuries. But I haven't seen the sloppy play, except from bad teams who are sloppy anyways. Like, the Lions are going to go out there and be sloppy, but they're going to be sloppy no matter what they do.
Well, that's a fantastic point, and I think initially, at least, everyone was just like, we gotta play, like, we gotta perform, and you mentioned canceling the preseason, basically. I think that was a wise move by the NFL to buy them some goddamn time, so they can at least, you know, they're a multi-billion dollar institution.
Well, what it's gonna show us is that maybe we don't need four preseason games, because nobody likes the preseason anyways, and half the players don't play in them.
I agree with you 100%. I'd much rather have two preseason games. I do think they have some kind of value.
It's the whole same thing with what Warner Brothers and HBO Max are doing with releasing their whole lineup in theaters and HBO Max. Is everybody's worried that, oh, the theater industry is going to die. And, you know, we don't have to get too deep into this, but the theater industry needed a change. It has been on its last leg for a while, and the way that the theater industry works isn't necessarily the way it should work anymore. And this is as terrible as it is to say, COVID kind of pushed it over the edge, right? It pushed it off the cliff so we can build something better.
Pushed a lot of things over the edge.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. The NFL is not one of them, though.
No, they're doing a pretty good job. I did read this. I read a headline. I didn't have time to click on the article, and we had a last-minute shakeup of what episode we were actually doing tonight.
You can tell them,
we're not
going to
blame anyone, but it was completely his fault.
It was me. You can fucking blame me.
But I read this thing that said Goodell is thinking about inviting the first responders who have already been vaccinated to the Super Bowl as fans. And I thought that would be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool. I think he should invite everyone he can that has been vaccinated.
First responders should get as much free shit as we can give them.
Dude, the entire stadium should be packed with medical workers. You already know.
Well, let's not packed.
Well, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
To capacity.
So socially distance.
You PC guy. Ugh. And that's, people are so upset. But just think of like the opening, singing the national anthem, the bands playing, shooting off fireworks, people are oohing and aahing and all that shit, singing and stuff. Like,
it would
that
be
is
the ultimate
dangerous.
Thank you to the frontline medical workers who have been doing such a good job through all this and who have been putting in extra hours and working in bad conditions to help all of us. It would be the ultimate thank you to do something like this just for them, that, okay, you, and they're also the first ones taking the vaccine. And the vaccine's been tested and it's gone through all the approvals and all that. So more or less it is a safe thing to take. So it's not necessarily super risky for them to take it, but they are putting themselves out there and taking it first. And it would be a great way to just kind of be able to congratulate them and thank them for doing this thankless job that they've been doing for the last, it'll be almost a year by the time the Super Bowl runs around.
Well, just take a fucking day off, go enjoy it. For those that do enjoy it, enjoy a sport you know, most likely with the team you enjoy. All you can drink, all you can eat, and if you don't...
Yeah, don't invite all these people there and then still charge them $12 for a beer.
Yeah, that would be fucked up. NFL probably would, or at least like $3. We're doing a dollar beer night. We got to get something out of it. Yeah. And if you don't like football, you get a fucking certificate or, you know, a souvenir or something. I don't know, but I think that's a good idea, actually.
Yeah. Like, I didn't read the whole article. I don't know any details on it. But it sounded pretty cool. If they do actually go through with it. So do you feel, back to fans here, that it's been different without fans or with the limited fans in the stadium, just watching the games from home?
Say that again?
Do you feel that the experience watching the game from home has been much different with the limited amount of fans or no fans in stadiums?
Yes and no. Yes, for the fact that momentum shifts don't seem as
right.
momentous.
Yeah, there hasn't been, and as a gambler, I have noticed this heavily, is there's not a heavy home field advantage anywhere, especially in Seattle right now. And that's been hard to adjust to as a gambler, that home field advantage doesn't exist, because usually home field advantage gives you an extra 3 points that you add to the spread, so you can kind of think in ways. So you have to – I've had to rethink every bet that I take and really think about, it's more of a neutral field game than anything else.
Right. It's like it's played in London.
Oh, fucking London games.
Yeah. They don't give a shit. You can hardly understand what anyone in the stands is saying. They don't give a fuck, but as a, you know, they've done a pretty good job simulating the crowd noise. They've gotten much better
yes.
since week
oh,
one.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're fucking good at it now.
Early on, it was really bad.
Oh, dude, it's fucking awful.
They'd get, like, a 3-yard run, and they'd turn up the crowd noise as high as possible. Just because Zeke Elliott's doing his little spoon feed thing doesn't mean it was actually a good play. He does that every time he touches the ball.
This should, well, when guys are still dancing and stuff, it just... I yeah. understand they gotta have some of that theatrics, but it's just like, that's gotta feel weird to dance in front of a, you know, at one point, someone's just walked up to their guy and be like, there's no one fucking here, dude, what are you doing? Get back in the fucking huddle, idiot.
They've got, like, I don't like the camera or the screen at the end zone that they all go pose in front of. I don't like that at all. That's a weird addition.
I don't like a bunch of it.
Yeah. I think it's really cool to hear all the pre-snap chatter and the quarterback audibles, all that stuff.
Yes.
You hear that a lot better right now.
That's a fucking great point. I love the communication, especially on defense. when yes. you hear guys calling out other sectors, and you know, especially if they're in zone, that shit is fascinating.
However, it's not cool when the announcers try to parse the meaning of what the pre-snap chatter is. Other than Tony Romo doing it, I don't want to hear your opinion on what you think they're doing, because 90% of the time you're wrong. Tony Romo's the only one that's right.
Dude, 100%. I'm just glad. Or Peyton Manning would be fantastic too. I digress on that. But I'm just happy Booger McFarland isn't – I haven't heard his voice like
– He's on the halftime show of Monday Night still.
Good thing I don't watch those.
No. Yeah, I that's usually like shower time or just like get shit done for 20 minutes time. Especially on Monday night. Monday night games have not been good this season, other than the aforementioned Baltimore-Cleveland one that I didn't really watch.
That was a fucking good game.
So let's talk about how COVID has affected.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go for it.
Baker Mayfield was feeling dangerous. I had to say. There's this dude at work.
Glad we got that in.
Yeah, I know. It's super important. But this guy at work, he does a perfect Baker Mayfield, and he says that shit all the time. I'm feeling dangerous.
Shout out guy at work.
Shout out guy at work. Want to be Baker Mayfield. Don't have that gap tooth, but you got the voice down.
All right, so let's talk how has COVID actually affected teams with rescheduling games, key players missing, anything like that. And do we think any problems from COVID is going to affect the team's success, or has it? Because we're kind of towards the end of the season here. When I made this outline, it was much earlier in the season. But right now, I think – so this is going to be weird, but the biggest team impacted, I think, was the New England Patriots. And here's why. They were kind of rolling with Cam Newton. And then it was week 6 or 7. He tested positive. Or like 5. It was between weeks 5 and 7. He tested positive for COVID. He's out 2 weeks, at least. He might have been out 3 weeks. I don't remember. I think they won one game and lost one game. But then he came back. And he was just awful.
He's been
for
trash.
The next 2 weeks. He's been, ever since then, he's been zigzagging. His first 6 weeks, or however long he played before he tested positive, he was on fire. They looked great. The Patriots looked like they were going to win the division again. Everything was clicking.
Rushing a shitload. He had a lot of rushing touchdowns. Yeah. He was extremely effective with his legs.
And so once he came back from the COVID diagnosis, he just didn't have it. You could tell that it took something out of him physically.
Oh,
and
definitely.
When you sit for 2 weeks and you can't do anything, you feel like shit, you can't lift, you can't condition in any way, that's going to happen. And you could tell the sloppiness came back with him. And then since then he had like the third week back, he had another, you know, solid game. And then he's just been kind of zigzagging since then. He'd be up and down and up and down. And I think they had a real shot they don't really have a shot at the playoffs now, but had he not gone through that and they were stable for those 4 games, they would have had a much better shot at the playoffs at this point.
Well, and at the same time, I don't know if he'll ever be the same player again, because I think that's what Cam Newton is incredibly gifted athletically. You need your fucking lungs for that shit. Don't think he's got the capacity he used to. I don't think he's got the, you know, I think his rhythm was thrown off. You know, learning how to breathe as a runner is extremely important. Mm-hmm. I don't think he knows how to breathe anymore, if that makes any sense.
Could be. Do you have any other teams whose overall success for the season or players have suffered because of COVID diagnosis or people having to sit games?
I'm going to go one. I got to go with my Chicago Bears. We obviously have a solid defense. It's okay. We're decent right now. But we've noticeably missed someone incredibly important to our defense, and that's our nose tackle, Eddie Goldman, who actually opted out of the season when it came to COVID. Our defense is not nearly the same, and that obviously affects the whole squad because we can't bail out the O. And,
right.
You know, without a solid up front run defense is what we're really missing, we're fucked. It exposes us completely. So I think that changes. I don't think the games where we lost would have been nearly as close. If the offense can't score, obviously we're, you know, it doesn't put us in a good position to win. But if our defense can limit their scoring. What do you mean
you got Mitchell Trubisky back there again now?
Dude, he was fucking – Maserati Mitch was killing it last week, but I'm not buying – I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid.
Nick Foles will be starting again by week 17. Don't worry.
Big Dick Nick needs to sit on the sideline.
He absolutely needs to sit on the sideline. And every sideline for every team he's on from now into eternity.
He fucking pisses me off. Like, I just
– I'm not a fan.
Well, he's too slow. I mean, if dude has Aaron Rodgers' amount of time in the, you know, in the backfield to throw a pass, yeah, he'll be good. But he usually doesn't have that.
No, they really need it. They've needed to invest in their offensive line since Jay Cutler was there. Like, that's just something they've never done. And along your same lines of Eddie Goldman missing, the Patriots also, and I'm not a Patriots fan, I listen to Bill Simmons a lot, and he's a Patriots fan, so I think that's why there's all this, like, random Patriots knowledge in my brain. Yeah,
Bill Simmons is good.
Yeah, I love Bill Simmons. I love that when they do Guess the Lines every Monday. So there's all this random Patriots stuff because he constantly talks about it. But the Patriots had like 6 or 7 defensive guys opt out before the season started.
That's a shitload. So, yeah, wow.
And all in their front seven. So they just have not. Yeah, they have not had a defense like they have in years past because of a lot of that. I also want to point out a special acknowledgement to week 12 of the NFL season. This is where Denver lost 4 quarterbacks for the week. They had to start a practice squad wide receiver at quarterback against the Saints, who the Saints were also kind of starting a practice squad wide receiver in Taysom Hill, but that's because Drew Brees was actually hurt.
He wasn't just hurt. That old man was crippled. He looked like glass.
Yeah. I mean, he shattered half his ribs.
He's fucking done. I don't think he's playing
again. I think they can still make a playoff push here. But and then the biggest impact was the Ravens had 43 additions to the COVID list.
What the fuck is going on up there, man? 20
players on the Ravens, including Lamar Jackson, could not play in that game in week 12 that got postponed. Till I think the Tuesday. No, that was the Wednesday game. That got postponed like 3 different times. It was a Sunday game, then it got pushed to Monday, then Tuesday, then finally Wednesday, and then there's like, fuck it, we'll play without these 20 people. And Tennessee had a big impact early on too, in that they got like 3 games in a row postponed till later in the week. That was like weeks 3 through 5. Which was probably when I started this outline right then, because I'm like, oh shit, this is really going to snowball. And it looked like it was, and then it just didn't. Well, it didn't ever really snowball. It seems like if a team had an outbreak, it kind of stayed within that team.
Yeah, I mean, they did a good job of locking it down, and I think that leads to, you know, the contract tracing is a big deal. They did a good job with that. And I think having, you know, the daily testing and shit, like, it's basically a real fucking job. They go there all the time, and that helps prevent the spread. But, dude, we've had a lot of Tuesday games this year because people have had to push shit back.
I kind of like having the Tuesday games.
I love it, man.
I liked the one – was it the Steelers-Baltimore game? That was on at, like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon on – yeah, that's what it was.
Like, it was like 12:05, dude.
On, like, a Wednesday. That was great.
I loved it.
That's like when March Madness is going on. That first weekend of March Madness, and you get to start watching college basketball at noon.
Well, I mean, we were – pretty much everyone at my job takes lunch like right at noon. So there was several people in the break room, socially distant, watching it, and there's TVs littered all over the place. So it was probably on 10 or 12 different TVs throughout the warehouse and the main building, and – it's just walking
really livens
through.
Up your day,
dude. It was great.
I know.
Everybody
in my office,
here
in my house, I started watching it.
You fucker. I fucking
Nobody
wish, man.
Me.
What's that?
Nobody joined me. We were going to Bass Pro to see Santa, socially distanced Santa. That was a really good experience, actually. They had him like behind this plastic thing, so you could still take the picture, and you couldn't see the plastic divider in the picture. And they had a little microphone that the kids could talk into. You had your own appointment, so there's nobody else around. It was really great. Shout out Bass Pro.
Yeah. That's not where I would probably think to go to meet Santa.
That's where we've gone every year to meet Santa. They do actually a really good job with their Santa setup.
Shout out Bass Pro. I need to keep that. There's like
not
one.
Every year. The first year we went to the local mall, and they had Santa like set up on a beach scene.
What the fuck? Because
we're in Florida. And it just looked terrible. Because it didn't feel like, if you're building your Santa area, you've got to have a winter wonderland around him. Like, we get the beach all the time. We live in Florida. I don't want my Santa at the beach. I want him in a winter wonderland.
Well, it's Santa. It's Christmas. Snow. Yeah. Kris Kringle. You know.
So we learned our lesson. Reverse shout out that mall.
Dude, they charge like $100. When I worked at Macy's, I would always, around Christmas, I'd always go look at the giant line of stupid people getting pictures with Santa at our mall, because it was just, they were super incompetent, but they charged like $120 for a picture.
I think our mall, when we did it at the mall, it was like $60 just to get the picture. Bass Pro gives you the picture for free, and then they sell for it. Like, if you want extra prints, you have to buy extra prints. They give you one print for free that they do right there. And then you can buy a frame and stuff like that. So
that's legit. I like that.
The last thing on how COVID has affected teams is the San Francisco 49ers have not been able to practice or play in their home facilities for the last 2 weeks. And I believe it's two more weeks following this due to their county's lockdown laws for most of December. So they're now playing their home games in Arizona for all of December.
Which is tight. Yeah.
I mean, it displaces over 70 families and, you know, people that they now either had to bring their families with them or they can't see their families. Mostly if these people have kids, those kids got to stay in school. They can't bring them to Arizona. I don't know. I don't like that. I mean, it's good that they found somewhere to go since, you know, the county locked them out of their facilities. But it also sucks for the people on the team, and that would just be hell on. Like, I don't know how they're gonna win any games in December, because that lifestyle is just going to be hell for them.
I think they're used to traveling. It'll just be a slightly extended vacation, and I do agree. Maybe. It would suck. I wouldn't like doing it. I probably wouldn't do it. Obviously, I'm not in the NFL, so I don't have to do it. But it mostly, I'm guessing, would be like a fucking, you know, business trip. But it's just
a whole month, though.
It's what's
now
required.
I don't have any home games.
It's what's required. I mean, I do not feel bad for the San Francisco 49ers. Think of how much taxpayer money they have received as a team for their facilities, for the team, for the coaching staff, all that bullshit. I don't know how NFL money works necessarily, but I think they have that obligation morally to be as safe as possible. And if they're locked down like that and they have to travel, so be it. They're still making millions of dollars and they're still providing entertainment. Think about all the people in Arizona. They're probably like, cool, the liberal fucking snowflake 49ers here in Arizona. I'm going to stomp them. Shout out, Arizona. I fucking love you guys.
How has COVID affected you as a fan of the NFL, personally?
It has made my pockets much bitter, bigger, and bitter. I haven't been able to buy all my – I try to go – for the past several years, my wife and I have wanted to attend at least one Bears game every year. So, obviously, they don't have my monies. You know, the hotels around the vicinity don't have my money. Shout out to anyone that's in Chicago for like a Bears game. There's a super tight hotel in Chinatown that's 1.1 miles away from Soldier Field. It's called the Jaslyn Hotel. Rooms are like $80 a night, best food ever, and it's super nice. And you can walk there in the morning. But they do not have my business, which sucks. And I really comes down to business. I spend a shitload of money, dude. I mean,
you could still give the Bears your business. They have a website, NFLShop.com. You can go there, buy anything you want.
I could, but as a sober individual, I'm not going to.
Do they sell the $11 beers on NFLShop.com? Can you get one of those sent to your home?
I mean, Miller fucked up. They put Chicago. They released Chicago Bear Miller Lite can, so it's like, okay, the taste of Soldier Field, I get it. But, you know, I'm good for
shout out
like me and my wife for say that again.
I said shout out Miller Lite, by far the best gin, like not generic, but like widely accepted light beer,
cheap light beer.
Yeah,
that's
you're
not
better
too
than Bud
cheap.
Light, you're better than Coors Light.
Coors Light fucking sucks.
Mick Ultra, you're better than that.
That's
right. I went through a weird Coors Light phase one year in college. Because the people I hung out with, like, I had, like, two different groups I hung out with. One of them, all of them drank Coors Light. So whenever I was with them, I'd drink Coors Light. And I kind of got acquired to the taste of it. But I never liked it. And I don't know why I kept ordering it.
I mean, you can get an 18-pack for, like, $9.
No, that's Natty Light.
No, it wasn't Natty Light.
Reverse shout-out Natty Light.
I used to get one, like, once a week on my way home from work. Grab me an 18 for $9. And then they raised it to $14.50, like there was some kind of rich people beer. And I said, fuck you.
And double reverse shout-out to Natty Ice. Yeah. The hands-down worst beer I've ever tasted in my life.
Oh, dude. What is I can't remember it right now. But Steel Reserve, not a good beer.
Yeah.
Cobra, not a good beer.
I wish I still lived in Milwaukee right now with the whole craft brewery thing popping up everywhere. I feel like there's a lot there.
St. Louis is a fantastic place.
Well, because St. Louis has got the Budweiser, so then you get all the microbreweries trying to compete with them, and I feel like Milwaukee would get the same thing around Miller Lite.
We got Schlafly, too. Yeah, Schlafly makes really good.
We've got a pretty
really
good number
beer.
of like indie breweries down here in Florida. And anytime I go to a bar that serves one, I try and try it if they have one that's to my liking. Usually they're IPAs, which I'm not a huge fan of IPAs, but
right. That's most of the craft beer out there.
Yeah,
but
that must be the easiest to make or something. Or the cheapest to make.
I don't know. But speaking of cheap, Soldier Field is fucking not. So me and my wife are good for, you know, after we tailgate, which is tight, we're good for 7-8 beers while we're in there.
Jesus.
Bro.
I got kids, Nick. I can't drink that much.
I mean, my kid is not with me. that'll be the one time we get away. But also some food. When I drink, I love to eat. Mm-hmm. I eat a lot. So I'm good for like 4 or 5 hot dogs. Probably an Italian beef, because that is the best Italian beef sandwich I've ever fucking had was at Soldier Field, surprisingly. And, you know, bottles of water and all that other stuff. At least one jersey. I bought a jersey every time I've been to Soldier Field. So
that's where they get you.
There's, you know, $500-$600 plus our tickets, which I mentioned earlier. Tickets are expensive, even for the cheap ones at Soldier Field. Plus parking, which is $50.
That's why I don't like going to games.
It's expensive, but it's so much fun.
The product that you're getting for being at a game is not superior enough to make up for the cost of it.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
Like sitting in my living room on my comfy couch with as many beers as I can drink, because I can get a $9 18-pack of Coors Light from the store.
Damn right. It's a banquet beer.
$9 for one beer, and I've got a big screen TV. I can see the whole field on the big screen TV. I can hear it much better. I can. It's not super fucking hot. I can eat whatever I want. I don't have to drive out of my way to get there. No parking lot. No, all that bullshit is gone. I don't like being at the game. I don't feel like I can see the whole game when I'm there. You miss replays, all that kind of stuff. I'd much rather be sitting on my couch watching the game. Also, you lose out on the flipping channels at commercials.
If you're ever around Chicago during the football season, please stop in and I will take you to a Bears game.
Okay.
And you will understand why.
I mean, I've been to the Swamp. I've been to a Florida Gators game. It's fine. 100%.
Dude, Soldier Field is so unique, it's hard to explain. And
so is the Swamp.
Motherfucker,
they
I'm not
call
trying
it the
to.
Swamp.
Yeah, I'm not trying to head there. Let me go sit around people with sweaty ass the whole fucking time. And I'm sweating dick, too. No, fuck that. But, I mean, they have big TVs there. You can see the replays and stuff like that. And you can see the whole field.
No.
It's a good time. But, anyway, Yeah. Any super fans of the show, hit me up. I'll take you to a Bears game. I'll fucking get you drunk on some Miller's Light.
So our one super fan, piece. Hit Nick up.
Hit me up.
So the only thing for me that's actually really been affected, because like I said, I sit on my couch and watch the games anyways. I'm not going to stadiums for the most part. Usually once or twice a season, me and a couple friends, we go to like a wings place and we'll eat wings and drink beer and watch the like 1 o'clock slate of games. That hasn't happened at all, obviously, this season.
That does suck.
I also had to cancel our annual live fantasy football draft that we do at my house. Couldn't do it just because I don't know where everyone's been. I don't know everyone that well. Like, I know everyone, but I don't know what you're out there doing when it's not fantasy football time. So we had to do a boring online draft instead. Hopefully we can get back to the live draft by next season. Who knows, though?
Gotta be safe, man.
Yeah.
I usually, you know, watch the game with my dad, my dad and my mom every Sunday, along with my wife and my kid. And that hasn't really happened too much, especially because they're coming back from Florida.
Fucking Florida.
Dude, gotta be safe.
Floridians are a piece of work, man.
They're angry. There's a lot of angry folks out there.
So, at this point, before we get into the breakdown of the divisions, do you think that they've got it figured out, or are we going to see more problems?
I think they've hit rock bottom in the sense, like that Baltimore situation that we mentioned earlier. I think that was rock bottom for the NFL. Unless someone dies. If someone dies, then it's in free fall. But at this point in time, I think they got it.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same page with you. I would have liked to see, instead of postponing all these games and pushing them to Tuesday and Wednesday, and they're up in the air, it's made it really hard for fantasy football and gambling.
Fucking impossible.
I would have liked to see them just tack on to empty weeks at the end of the season, push the playoffs 2 weeks, and those are COVID makeup games. You know, why are we trying to shove them into this time slot that they don't fit? Let's just give that, you get more TV revenue by adding 2 weeks to the end of the season. There will be games played then. Like, you don't have to worry that nobody's going to have a COVID outbreak. We don't have to worry. Like, those 2 weeks will just be empty. That wasn't ever going to happen. You could see it as soon as the problems started happening in Tennessee. Just tack those on. Push the Super Bowl back. You're not competing with NBA playoffs at that time. You're not competing with March Madness or anything like that, because none of that's going on yet. It would have been smart to have that extra padding, so you're not trying to shove these things in. And the Steelers, I think, have gotten screwed the most. They got screwed with postponements against Tennessee and against Baltimore when both of them had their outbreaks. And it's not pushing the game back doesn't matter that much to the players. Playing on Tuesday instead of Sunday for that week, where it affects them is the next week, where now they've only got Wednesday to Sunday to prepare. So now they're on a short week, even shorter than your normal Thursday game. And they're at a huge disadvantage when they go and play a team who's had a full week to prepare.
Oh, yeah. I mean, your body has to have time to recharge.
Well, especially without these practices and extra conditioning that they're not getting.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's bad news, man.
But, you know, I don't know why there was this push to get everything in. You know, let's fit it in our 17 weeks.
Contracts.
It's the same number of games, though. You're playing your 16 games no matter what. They get paid per game.
Well, I mean, think about the people that are on the back end of the NFL, you know, who are already slotted for the primetime slots and shit like that. You know, you can't just shift everyone back down because that lowers their investment. So I think it's basically an ease thing. It's easier for the NFL, the networks, and the people who are also buying into the networks to advertise after the NFL
to just go with the flow. Because now they're putting it on a Tuesday when the network would have something else scheduled there, instead of putting it on, you know, another Sunday later, where it was scheduled for NFL anyways, because that would have just been the playoffs, but now the playoffs are pushed back. And the networks are going to get the most money out of NFL games than, you know, Grey's Anatomy or whatever the fuck else is being played.
I don't know. Grey's Anatomy is it's fucking hot fire, dude.
And networks are struggling for content right now. They will take any content I think you can give them.
I could shit on a plate and give it to them, and they'd probably take it.
Yes, absolutely.
And then after they take it,
reality show on CBS right there.
It'd run for 9 seasons, and then they'd leave it for a season, and then reboot it, and then do a prequel too. Probably.
Well, it'd be your kid's shit by that point, right? They got to bring your kid in.
She's quite the shitter.
All right, so we'll do a quick division by division roundup. What's happened so far? What we think is going to happen? Maybe who wins the division? We're going to start with the AFC, then the NFC, and then we'll make Super Bowl predictions at the end. So we'll start AFC North. Steelers are currently in the lead of that division.
11-2,
but they're on a two-game losing streak, and the Browns are surging lately.
The Browns look
I guess
very
they just lost to Baltimore, but
good. I'm sorry, I hate
Browns
Baker
have looked
Mayfield.
Better than they have in like 40 years.
Oh, dude, I hate Baker Mayfield, but he's good for that team.
Yeah, he's doing a really good job. The Ravens, you know, they're trying to keep their way in it. They're looking for there's a seventh wild card spot this year, so they're kind of staying in it. The Bengals are bad. They lost Joe Burrow. They've got no hope this season. But I think probably the Steelers still pull that out. Browns will be, I think they're pretty much locked into a wild card spot, and I don't know that I want the Ravens in the playoffs.
No,
Let me look at these other ones.
I think the Browns are the strongest team in that division because Pittsburgh has had a pretty easy schedule, all things considered. Browns have not.
I think we're looking really for the wild card spots. The Browns are most likely in. I think the Dolphins can still make a push for it, and I would like to see them in it. And then whichever out of the Titans and Colts in the AFC South, whoever doesn't win that, I think that's your third wild card team. So I don't think there's room for the Ravens. I don't really want to see the Ravens in there. They're not with
They've
as good as Lamar
out,
Jackson
man.
Is. They have not been very creative on offense, and it hasn't been a really fun team to watch this season.
They've been figured out.
Yeah.
Mark Ingram is another year older. You know, their running game is just not as strong, which takes away from their passing game. It's all complementary football in Baltimore.
Yeah. So, what, you agree with the Steelers?
Winning
that
division?
It's going to be hard for them to lose it. Yeah.
I disagree. I don't think the Steelers can maintain in the home stretch. They're one injury or one COVID diagnosis away.
You think they're going to lose 3 games in a row? They pretty much got to lose 3 games in a row here.
I think it's entirely possible.
Let's see what their schedule is for the rest of the season.
There you go. I think the Cleveland Browns are surging. They lost Odell Beckham.
They play the Bengals this week. We're recording this Wednesday the 16th, so by the time this posts, the week 15 games will have already been played, but we're recording it after week 14.
I smell an upset.
No, the Bengals can't beat the Steelers. If Joe Burrow is there, I think they could. And then they've got the Colts and the Browns. I think the Colts and Browns could win those games. So the outlook would be both teams ending 12-4, and if the Browns could leapfrog there, I don't know the whole tiebreaker situation, but both teams would have to end 12-4 pretty much. There's no way the Steelers are losing to the Bengals. I'm sorry, it's not gonna happen.
I'm willing to bet $5 on that.
Okay, fine, I'll take that.
That'd be the easiest $5 you ever made.
AFC East. Bills are in first place at 10-3 right now. Bills looking good.
Have you caught any of their games?
Oh yeah, I've watched a couple. So
they are fun to watch.
Yeah, they're a really fun team to watch. That defense is really fast, really good. That's my favorite kind of team to watch is those really fast, all over the place defenses.
Oh yeah, the swarmers.
The Giants teams back in the early 2000s. The Jaguars had some good, really fast defenses in the early 2000s. Cincinnati had some of those teams when like Carson Palmer was still there. So that like I really like that those swarming defense. Dolphins, like we said, looking at a wild card spot.
Surprise.
Hopefully. Patriots struggled in the middle of the season, and probably they're going to be on the outside looking in for the first time in
the shit-ass Jets. Blow them out.
I was going to say the Patriots haven't. It's been like 11 years since they haven't won the division or something. Whatever that year Matt Castle had to start because Brady was injured. They made the playoffs, but they didn't win the division that year.
What are they, 10-6 that year or something like
that?
Yeah,
the Jets won, and then the Jets beat them in the playoffs, in the wild card round of the playoffs.
Mark Sanchez before the butt fumble.
Fucking butt fumble. And speaking of the Jets, they are 0-13 going straight for Trevor Lawrence as fast as they can.
There's going to be some – the NFL is going to do something about that.
I don't know.
You're telling me
they're
Donald
bad.
Is – that bad and Adam Gase is that fucking stupid?
Well, Adam Gase is that bad of a coach. I don't think Sam Darnold's that bad. Sam Darnold's a guy that if he shows up on another team next year, he can have success. Like if he goes to Indianapolis next season, he could do good there.
I think that's what he's going for. I think he is tanking with the
Jets.
Get
the hell out of there. Yeah.
Oh,
dude. Please draft Trevor Lawrence. Get me the hell out of here.
Fucking 100%. Give me the vet minimum. I'll go play in Indy. That'd be a great spot for him. Chicago. I'd love to at least give him a tryout.
Yeah,
give him a look.
Chicago. So we've got Yeah, Miami's in second. They've got kind of an outside shot, but I think the Bills probably still take the division.
Yeah, I think they take the division. Josh Allen is getting hot again.
Well, they've got a Week 17 matchup, the Bills and the Dolphins, so that could potentially be for the division win.
That'll be a fun game. Yeah, I mean, Tua's looking good.
I like Miami with Tua. They had some big COVID opt-outs, too. Jakeem Grant and Albert Wilson and Allen Hurns both opted out, which they're not great receivers, but they're definitely, like, they strengthen that receiver core that kind of needed those speed and possession guys.
I mean, shit, Hurns is, what, 1 year out from being a 1,000-yard-plus receiver in Jacksonville?
No, like 3 years out. He did a year in Dallas where he was terrible. Yeah, so him and Robinson had that really good year with Bortles. And then Robinson left for Chicago. And then Hurns was still in Jacksonville for another year where he didn't do very well. Then he went to Dallas for a year where he did even worse. And then he was supposed to play for Miami this year and opted out. But he's a really good possession guy where you need a catch on 3rd and 5. He's there for it.
Yeah, he can body people.
So let's go to the AFC South. Right now, the Titans and Colts, they're not really tied for the lead. The Titans are technically ahead of the Colts, but they're both at 9-4. Texans at 4-9, and the Jaguars at the bottom in 1-12. Just hoping that the Jets can win a game so they can get that first-round pick.
Yeah, no shit, dude. Yeah, I don't know. I can't believe they haven't gone back to Gardner.
They have. They officially announced, he played last week, and they've officially announced that he will be the starter as long as he's healthy for the rest of the season.
That makes way more sense than Mike fucking Glennon. Mike Glennon's terrible.
I wanted to see some good stuff out of Jake Luton. He looked good. He looked good in his first start, and then he went south quick.
They tend to do that.
Yeah. I think the Titans end up winning this division. I just don't know how the Colts are good. They have a really good defense. I'll give them that, but I just can't stand watching Phillip Rivers win games. I have been burned so many times this season betting against the Colts because they're like 3-point favorites, and I'm like, they can't beat this team, and then they beat them by 12. I hate it. I hate Phillip Rivers.
I can't stand watching him play anymore. It's like watching someone having to break their arm every time they throw the football. He's still slinging it. I mean, it's like watching Drew Brees. Can't say his fucking name right now. It's like watching old men breaking their elbows every time they launch that ball 7 yards.
Yeah, it's rough. I've never been a Phillip Rivers fan. It's weird seeing him in Indianapolis to begin with, and then the fact that they keep winning these games is just baffling.
Yeah, fuck them. But I think they'll fade along the, you know, the last
they'll
few
definitely
weeks
be out. If they make the wild card, they'll definitely be out in the first round. Titans could do some damage in the playoffs, definitely. Texans, you know, they got what they needed this season in firing Bill O'Brien. He is just a dumpster fire as a GM and as a coach. He's basically made it his mission for the last 4 years to kill Deshaun Watson by not getting any offensive linemen and then trading away any good draft picks for bad players. So I want to see Deshaun Watson succeed. I really love him, but they've just done everything that they can to not help him succeed.
You know, when he was playing the Bears this past week, he was getting tackled. He's like, "Hey, come get me." When he got that safety, he's like, "Here, let me give you a safety, so you know I'm serious.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here."
Unfortunately, the Texans have already extended him, so that's gonna be hard.
Sign and trade. Just have our whole defense.
So let's go last to the AFC West. The Chiefs are running away with it. 12-1. The Raiders are 7-6. Broncos are 5-8. The Chargers are 4-9. The Chiefs are the Chiefs, and Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. Nothing's changing there. The Raiders got this lucky win against them early in the season. Really weird look when they got that win.
That was wild.
Yeah.
Had Derek Carr starting in fantasy. That was much needed that week.
I'm really enjoying watching the Chargers play with
Justin Herbert.
Herbert.
I said Gilbert. He's seems
fun to
pretty
watch.
Legit,
he's good,
dude.
Yeah.
He's
I mean, they've
gunslinger.
Had some they've had some injury issues, and they've got a really good defense that could really do some damage. Like, I think they'll be good. They need a better coach, but I think they'll be good in the next few seasons.
Yeah.
Just glad to not see Phillip Rivers there anymore.
Yeah, fuck off, Phillip Rivers, with your 12,000 fucking kids.
All right, so let's move to the NFC, starting back in the North. Packers. Sorry, we got to start in the North. We started the AFC North, got to start in the NFC. Packers are in the lead at 10-3, Vikings 6-7, Bears 6-7, and the Lions right where they belong in last place at 5-8.
I wish we would have lost to the Texans. Let's fucking tank, yo. Let's get a
for
decent
what,
pick.
Though? To get the 13th pick in the draft? That's a that they're going to draft another right outside linebacker?
If we
instead
lose
of an offensive lineman?
If we lost out, we would be inside the top 10. Well,
I'm
some people
sure
would have to favorably lose out, but either way, it's a higher draft position. If Zach Martin's still there, I'd probably take him. Yeah.
See,
yeah, there's
yeah,
a couple.
Vikings,
I like
Jaguars,
I like Trask.
Packers.
Trask is pretty good.
Yeah, go Gators. He's not a first round quarterback though. Sorry to tell you.
I don't care.
I guess neither was Mitchell Trubisky. So
no, but I mean, either way, if we're inside the, you know, there's no solid quarterbacks to still take. I want an O lineman. Give me anyone
that's
400 pounds.
That's what the Bears need to focus on. That's so what bad. Houston's needed to focus on for the past 4 years is offensive line, and they haven't. The Bears the same thing. You trade up to draft this quarterback, and then you don't protect him, regardless of how good Mitchell Trubisky is or isn't. You haven't done anything to actually help protect him.
Or give him weapons. He had Dontrell Inman in 2018. Who the fuck is Dontrell Inman?
Hey, man, you've got Anthony Miller getting hurt every season. That's his weapon.
He's had like 15 surgeries on his same shoulder.
He's healthy this season, though.
He's dropped like everything thrown his way. He's looked like shit.
That's because his arms are bionic. They're not real anymore, man.
He can't feel the ball hitting his hands. He's just like, oh, shit, I guess I just had a pass thrown my way.
So the Packers are leading the division. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, fuck off.
I'm not going to talk about them.
Fucking whack-ass Packers.
Aaron Rodgers sucks. I hate him.
He doesn't suck, but I hate him a lot.
So let's move on to the NFC East, where every team is worse than the Bears.
The worst division in football.
The Washington team name
football
redacted.
Losers.
Is 6-7, currently leading the division. Giants are 5-8. Eagles are 4-8-1. And the Cowboys are 4-9. I really want to see the Eagles win the division, just because I want that tie to push them over the edge. Like everybody made fun of them for tying the Bengals early in the season, and that's what's going to win them division. I kind of want to see that.
I hope they do, and then Carson Wentz goes to the Canadian Football League.
I think Carson Wentz is in the same boat as Sam Darnold. I think he needs a new team, and
the
Eagles
Bears
have already extended him, so that. It's going to be tough to get him traded, but I think he's good. He was good when Frank Wright was his coach, I think, or when he was the offensive coordinator. I think Doug Peterson is a problem. He's just not a very creative coach, and he's not putting Wentz in good positions to succeed. And so Jalen Hurts has played the last 2 weeks, and Hurts isn't doing anything great. The thing that he can do better than Wentz is move when his pocket breaks down.
Yeah,
and
he's a boot guy like Trubisky.
Against the Saints, he did a really great job. He ran for over 100 yards because he was constantly under pressure, so he can move out of that faster. Wentz would kind of sit back and wait for plays to open up. Wentz can run. He just won't take off as quickly as it seems like Hurts would these last couple weeks. And that's obvious for somebody as fast as Hurts, who hasn't had a lot of game speed time in the NFL, like that's what's going to happen. That's second nature to him to just take off and run. He'll eventually get that pocket presence, but it's just not there, and he doesn't have any pocket.
Let's be real, though.
I think Wentz
holds
can
the ball
succeed on a different team
way too fucking long. Consistently,
well,
he holds
receivers.
That ball. It doesn't fucking matter. He holds that ball way too long. You throw that shit away or you run it.
And last season, they had the most drops of any team. Like, everybody just dropped the balls. Maybe there's something wrong with how he throws the ball. I don't know. But I think he could be successful on a different team. He needs to go where Kyle Shanahan's your coach. Go to the 49ers. I know they've got a lot in Garoppolo, but I would like to see that. I think
dude,
he can do well with Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, man, I never even made that connection. That just fucking blew my mind. That would be so nasty in San Francisco. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to talk to my cousin about that.
Who do you think's going to win the NFC East?
I'd like to see Alex Smith in the
Except
Washington football
again.
Team. Is he really?
So, yeah, he got hurt last week. Dwayne Haskins finished the game. That defense
is
really
good. 4 interceptions?
Yeah. That defense is really good, though. So, Let's see what the rest of their schedule looks like. Seahawks this week in Washington. Panthers, L. Eagles.
L.
No, they'll definitely beat the Panthers, and then that Eagles game will be close. That'll be an interesting one. They can't beat the Seahawks, especially with Dwayne Haskins. But the key to beating Russell Wilson, and we'll get to more on him, has been getting pressure on him. When he's been pressured this year, they haven't played well. So if they can get a couple sacks early in that Seahawks game, they got a chance of winning it.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah. So to the NFC South we go. Saints are in the lead at 10-3. Buccaneers 8-5. Falcons 4-9. Panthers 4-9. It's a two-man race between the Buccaneers and the Saints.
It's not even that close of a race either.
No, the Bucs have the Falcons, Lions, and Falcons again. That's probably three wins right there.
Yeah.
And the Saints play the Chiefs, the Vikings, and the Panthers. That's probably 2-1. Like, they'll lose to the Chiefs, but they can win those last two games even with Taysom Hill. So I think the Saints probably run away with it.
Shit on them.
What's that?
They're getting hot. I think the Vikings will beat the Saints. They're getting hot.
Yeah, but that should be if Drew Brees isn't back this week, which I don't know why you would put him in there against the Chiefs because you're going to get beat anyways. I think you wait. You play him against the Vikings, play him against the Panthers, and with Drew Brees, I think you have a better chance of winning than Taysom Hill.
I don't think Brees is coming back, dude. I think he's done.
No, he was throwing the football today. He's practicing.
You can throw the football in practice. It doesn't mean you can take game action.
He'll be fine. He doesn't get hit. He doesn't get hit that much. It's just like Brady. Brady doesn't get hit.
He got hit that one time and shattered like his whole chest.
Well, don't get hit again. It's the same thing with Brady. He just doesn't want to get hit.
Yeah, that's fair.
I like the Buc. I think we'll see the Buccaneers in the playoffs. I mean, they're pretty much locked in at 8-5 right now.
The NFL will make it happen.
It'll be... So the 49ers are pretty much out of it. They were the other option if we had three teams from the NFC West, but I don't think that's going to happen at this point. That last wild card spot in the NFC is going to be very interesting.
I think the Bears might get it.
The Cardinals, who are 7-6 right now, the Vikings and the Bears are both 6-7. I mean, those are your options.
I think the Bears are hot, man. They're going to get it and then lose in the first round.
Well, yeah.
Like bitches.
I want to see the Buccaneers. I think the Buccaneers, they can be good. I don't know. Brady's had some issues, but they have a lot of good skill guys.
They have an incredible amount of skill.
And Leonard their defense
Fournette
is good.
Was a healthy scratch.
Fuck Leonard Fournette. He's not good. If I want somebody to run slowly 3 yards, I'll get out
there. I want someone to run slowly 3 yards. Yeah, more like 2.6.
Yeah. Well, he leans for the extra point for it. He's got the good lean forward.
He's heavy, dudes. You know, he pushes people aside.
So let's finish with the NFC West. We got the LA Rams at 9-4. The Seahawks are at 9-4. The Cardinals are at 7-6. And the 49ers are at 4-8. And let's go back to the 49ers. They play the Cowboys this week, then the Cardinals, then the Seahawks. Maybe they can probably beat the Cowboys, but other than that, I don't think they're winning those other two games.
Definitely not.
Just with their current situation, everything's up in the air for them. It's going to be very hard for them to get any semblance of a routine going over the month of December. So I wouldn't see. And, you know, they still don't have Garoppolo back. They've had a ton of injuries. They're probably the most injured team this season.
It's ridiculous because I have both Garoppolo and Christian McCaffrey on my fantasy team.
Fucking
bullshit,
first pick
dude.
Of the draft. Fuck that. I'm still in first place in that draft that I had to take Christian McCaffrey first.
Yeah. Somehow. Oh, I thought you were talking about our league.
No, different league. I'm in first. I took. It was the one we were recording an episode the night I did the draft, and I had the first pick and took McCaffrey. I'm in first place, but he didn't help me do that at all.
It's hurt, but I still beat you.
Hey, we got a rematch this week.
Dang.
We got a rematch this week. That's what.
About to beat you again,
that's
son.
That's 20 strikes right now, Nick. Get Alex from Suck My Fanfic back in here. Just talk about Dune. It'll just become a podcast about Dune all the time.
That'd be tight. I'd listen.
He'll just read line by line to me, and I'll go, yeah, dope.
Sorry, honey. I got to be read to.
I got to look. So the Rams play the Jets, the Seahawks, and the Cardinals. and the Seahawks play Washington, the Rams, and the 49ers. So that's two definite wins for the Seahawks against Washington and the 49ers. Toss up between them and the Rams. And the Rams will definitely beat the Jets. Toss up. And that's a toss up for the Cardinals. So I think I got to go Seattle in the NFC West.
If Seattle is remotely hot, I'm always going Seattle.
Yeah. I mean, both every teams time. Are going to make the playoffs, most likely. So it doesn't really matter other than you get the home field game, which, again, this season hasn't really mattered either. I love watching the Seahawks. I love Russell Wilson. DK Metcalf is an absolute beast.
He's a fucking monster. That dude is a specimen.
Yeah, I've got him in two fantasy leagues, and it's just been amazing to watch. Yeah, he's – I don't get the – have you noticed his mouth guard?
No.
Yeah, okay, so the next time you watch the Seahawks, his mouth guard is not like a regular mouth guard. On the end of it, it looks like a pacifier. So, like, the part that hangs out from his mouth looks like what a pacifier in a baby's mouth looks like.
That's
very strange.
Weird.
I've never heard or read anything on why he has that.
6'3", 240
yeah,
pound
looks
shredded
like he's
human
got a
being with a pacifier.
Yeah.
I'm good. Hear me out, though. I got to say this about the Rams. If they had... I think Mitchell Trubisky should sign with the Los Angeles Rams in the offseason, and I think they'll win the next three Super Bowls.
No, because Patrick Mahomes still exists, so that's not happening.
I don't give a fuck. I think with Sean McVay's ability to create... and especially with a boot quarterback like Mitch Trubisky and their defense...
But Mitchell Trubisky's just not good. Like, even if he has
he
the perfect
is
situation,
in the booth,
he's
though.
Not very good.
He
he's
is
not,
in the booth, though.
He's not. I'm sorry, he's not good. Carson Wentz could go to L.A. and be good.
I think Mitch is better than Carson.
You're absolutely wrong. Deshaun Watson should go to the L.A. Rams.
That would be...
I think Sean McVay could be good with pretty much any quarterback, but...
Yeah.
All right, so Nick,
Deshaun Watson. Whew.
That'd be scary. That'd be very, very scary.
That'd be fucking nasty.
Yeah. Get him a real receiver out there, too. I mean, Cooper Kupp's good, but, like, let's get DeAndre Hopkins back with him.
No, just A-Rob's a free agent. Or
go.
Will be.
All right, Nick, let's get it. Your Super Bowl prediction. Who you got, and who's going to win it?
I'm a little controversial. I think I'm going to go...
The Bears and the Bengals. Boom,
no, I'm
going to
go with the Bills, the motherfucking Bills, and the Packers.
I'm sorry, but the Bills, nobody's beating the Chiefs. No, nobody's beating the Chiefs.
I disagree.
I
disagree, man.
So remember
last
year. I want to
know odds on that.
Last year, it was, Tennessee's really going to give them trouble, and they did for like half a quarter. In that playoff game, and then they just ran away with it. Because Andy Reid's a good enough coach that he can make adjustments. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback that we're ever going to see. Having named my daughter after her middle name after Peyton Manning, I have full faith in me saying that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback that we're going to see.
He's nasty.
Yeah, he can do anything. He's good at adjusting on the field. He's good at making plays when plays break down. He's the most talented player in the league, and this is what I said at the beginning of the season. This is what I said when we were doing the NBA bubble episode of why LeBron and the Lakers were going to win. When you have the most talented player on the planet, you're going to win. And in weird situations where everything's not going, when the play breaks down, the best player on the planet is going to figure it out. Tyreek Hill is the fastest player on the planet. That helps. Travis Kelce is the best tight end on the planet. That helps. They have a solid defense.
Serviceable D.
Yeah. Their defense, and last year their defense was awful. Didn't matter. Their line has held up. Sammy Watkins is a great receiver. Mecole Hardman's been really great. You got Le'Veon Bell there now. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been great.
He's been fun to watch.
They just have so much that it would take an impossible amount to go wrong, and I don't think the Bills or the Titans or the Steelers have it in them to make that many things go wrong for the Chiefs. And even when the Raiders beat them, it wasn't because things were going wrong. It was that the Raiders just scored that game. They just said, we're going
to
score.
They were on fire.
And that's what you have to do, and I think that the Chiefs' defense is good enough this year that they won't let you do that. They'll force you into some mistakes.
It really comes down to a shootout. Are you willing to shoot out with this team or not?
Are you able to?
Right. That's probably the
best. Josh Allen's been great this season, and Stephon Diggs has helped him immensely. I don't think they can shoot out with Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Sammy Watkins and Mecole Hardman.
It just depends on the day.
It doesn't.
I mean, dude, if Derek Carr did it.
It doesn't. It doesn't depend on the day. I'm sorry. any day of the week, I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes over anybody.
Yeah, most likely.
Same with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, I will go with Russell Wilson over anybody other than Patrick Mahomes.
I'll go with Russell Wilson over Patrick Mahomes.
No. I'm sorry. I like Russell Wilson. He's great. Patrick Mahomes is the best player we've ever seen play quarterback. I'm sorry. So you got Bills and Packers. Whack on both accounts, but that doesn't matter. Who's going to win it?
Packers. That hurts me to say.
It's not going
to
happen. Aaron Rodgers isn't good enough. Aaron Rodgers isn't good enough.
What?
They will.
What? Say that again.
Aaron Rodgers is not good enough to win 4 playoff games.
What?
He's not.
Dude, what? As a Bears fan, what?
He won one Super Bowl 11 years ago with the most talent he's ever had on his team. Other than maybe this season, they might be more talented. He's not good enough. He is terrible if he gets down 7 or 10 points. If he throws one interception or gets sacked twice in a game, he is terrible. Did you see them play the Buccaneers? They have played.
Dude, how often how often does he throw picks? What does he have, 3?
Right. So here's a stat that I'll throw out. Last season, he had the most throwaways out of any quarterback. That's not a good fucking stat to be good at. He doesn't take any chances. He doesn't throw the ball down the field. He doesn't fit the ball into windows. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. He doesn't fit the ball into windows when he needs to.
No, dude.
He's not good. He is...
What? Oh, my God. Calvin.
He is good when the circumstances are perfect. If there is anything not perfect about the circumstances, he melts down.
Let us know on Twitter.
Look at the fourth quarter comeback stats. He is like 70th on the fourth quarter comebacks out of like anybody who qualifies. He is down late in a game.
How often is he down late in a game, though?
Often enough. But here's the problem. That's what happens in the playoffs, is you're playing the best teams. Let me read you this other thing of what their schedule has been like. Packers Vikings, that's against the losing team. They won. Packers Lions against a losing team. Packers won. Packers Saints, here's their first game against a team with a winning record. They won by 7. Packers Falcons, okay, they win. Packers Buccaneers, second game against a team with a winning record, 38-10 loss. Packers Texans, another team with a losing record, 35-20. Packers Vikings, a team with a losing record, lost 28-22. Packers 49ers, another team with a losing record. They won 34-17. Packers Jaguars, another team with a losing record, 24-20 win. Packers Colts, here's another team with a winning record. Guess what? Packers lose 34-31. Packers Bears, 41-25. Guess what? Bears have a losing record. Packers Eagles have a losing record, 30-16. Packers win. Packers Lions, another team with a losing record, 31-24. That's like the easiest schedule, and they played 3 teams with a winning record and only won one of those games. In the playoffs, all of the teams they play, unless they play whoever wins the NFC East, is going to have a winning record. They can't win those games because Aaron Rodgers is not good enough to beat good teams.
You just went on a 1.5-minute absolute slaying fest of me with pure fact.
It's been happening for 15 years. I don't know. He's not good. He's only good against bad teams when everything works out perfectly for him.
No way.
I've been saying it for like however long we've been doing that. I've been saying it longer than that, but I've been saying it on record for as long as we've been doing this podcast. Aaron Rodgers is not a good quarterback. I would not take him on my team over probably at least – I would take at least 10 other quarterbacks before I took Aaron Rodgers. Let me go through it. Let me see the teams here. Josh Allen, no. Tua, no. Cam Newton, any other year than this year, yes. Sam Darnold, no. Patrick Mahomes, absolutely. Derek Carr, that's a close one. Drew Locke, no. Justin Herbert, yes. Ben Roethlisberger, no. Baker Mayfield, yes. Lamar Jackson, yes. Joe Burrow, probably only because he's younger.
You take Baker and Joe over Aaron Rodgers?
I would take only – so if I'm comparing Joe Burrow now to Aaron Rodgers now, yes, I would take Joe Burrow now because he's younger and has more potential. Ryan Tannehill, no. Phillip Rivers, no. Deshaun Watson, absolutely. None of the three people who have started for the Jaguars, absolutely not. Dwayne Haskins, Alex Smith, no. Daniel Jones, no. Carson Wentz, I would like to see Carson Wentz play with a different team. But I would think about Carson Wentz. Dak Prescott, no. Jared Goff, no. Russell Wilson, in a heartbeat. Kyler Murray, probably not, but maybe. Jimmy Garoppolo, yes. I think I would take Jimmy Garoppolo over Aaron Rodgers, potentially. That's another one where, like, I got to see it play out.
Got to see the team he's on.
Yeah. Kirk Cousins, no. None of the Bears misfits, no. None of the Lions misfits.
Hey, fuck you!
Drew Brees, any year before this year, yes. Tom Brady, still this year, yes. Matt Ryan, that's a close one for me. Teddy Bridgewater, that's a close one for me.
Yes. No.
All right, so I'm done trashing Aaron Rodgers. I didn't want to get into that, but you forced my hand.
I forced your hand, Calvin. It's, blame me.
My Super Bowl prediction, obviously, Kansas City Chiefs. And at the beginning of the season, I picked this, so I'm sticking with it. I can't waffle. It's the New Orleans Saints. I still think they can make it. If Drew Brees does not ever come back, then they can't make it. Taysom Hill is not taking him there. But if Drew Brees comes back and he's healthy throughout the playoffs, I think they can get there. This is Drew Brees' swan song. This is his last chance to get there. As you said, he's made of glass. He's not.
It's Elway time to shine.
Yes, exactly. And that was my – because in my mind at the beginning of the season, it was going to come down to him and the Bucks with Tom Brady there. They both, I think, have about an equal amount of talent. I think Drew Brees and Sean Payton need it more than Tom. Tom Brady's not going anywhere. He never gets hit. He throws the ball just fine. He needs to find another, you know, short, fast wide receiver. That's really what it is. Scotty Miller's there, but he's really missing that this year.
Where's Cole Beasley?
Needs Cole Beasley. Bring him in from Buffalo. I don't think Brady sees this as his last chance.
Brees
100% is going, especially after this injury. This is 100% his last chance. I think they're going to be a little bit more motivated to get there, so they have a better shot at winning that game. Having said all that, the Chiefs win by like 40 in the Super Bowl.
That's fair.
Because Patrick Mahomes is going to Patrick Mahomes.
God, I don't even want to argue with you about it because you're right.
There might be teams in the AFC that can give the Chiefs a run for their money. There's not a single team in the NFC that can give the Chiefs a run for their money.
Yeah, not a chance.
There's not anyone. If I was betting on the Chiefs, there's not anyone in the NFC that I would be scared of.
No.
Okay. That is NFL in the time of COVID.
That's a wrap.
Boom. Thank you for listening. Check us out on Twitter at APA something at @alone_podcast. Come back next week for Christmas adjacent movies. It should have been this week, but it's not. It's next week. So come back for that.
Because Nick sucks.
I didn't say that. You said it.
I said it.
Thank you, as always, to those cats for providing all of the music for Podcasts About Something.
You guys stay sassy.
Stay classy. Hello and welcome to a podcast. Fuck that.
Leave that in, dude.
Hello and welcome to a podcast about something. I can't fucking do it now.
Then you have to do the rewind. After you fuck up, do the... and then do it right.
All right, let me compose myself.